That's not the question. Will God bless you? God will bless you beyond what you're able to imagine. Question is, are you going to follow Him? See, because His blessings are through grace. But as you follow Him, the blessings abound. If you don't follow Him, you're hurting yourself. It's your choice. Part of my job, pastor, teacher, is to present that to you.
Welcome to Cross the Bridge with David McGee, senior pastor of The Bridge in Kernersville, North Carolina. Today, David McGee begins teaching in 1 Samuel chapter 28. And we have in the studio with us one of his assisting pastors. Welcome to the program, Pastor Neil.
Bob, great to be digging into God's Word with you and our listeners out there today. And Pastor David is going to be talking about choosing life, choosing God, and choosing His way. See, Bob, when we make the decision to follow the Lord, we are living life at its fullest, spiritually speaking.
But we're not robots, so we have to make that choice every day.
That's right. We're given the choice of free will, but when we choose God's way, we're really choosing life. And when I say life, I mean, Bob, joy and peace and happiness and those fruits of the Spirit, or that fruit of the Spirit that we talk about in Galatians chapter 5.
Awesome. Well, let's listen as David McGee continues sharing through 1 Samuel.
Chapter 28, verse 1. It says, "Now it happened in those days that the Philistines gathered their armies together for war to fight with Israel. And Achish said to David, 'You assuredly know that you will go out with me to battle, you and your men.'" Uh-oh. Look at David's words, verse 2. "So David said to Achish, 'Surely you know what your servant can do.' And Achish said to David, 'Therefore I will make you one of my chief guardians forever.'" David carefully words his reply, doesn't he? We could learn a lesson. We need to choose our words carefully. Because oftentimes we say things without thinking. I know I have. I know I still do. And I don't know if you ever stopped to think about this, but once you say something, it's out. You've said it. David is making his enemy his friend. And in doing that, he's making his friends his enemies. The Bible tells us that faithful are the wounds of a friend. What it's saying in that is that a friend is somebody that will tell you something that maybe you really didn't want to hear, but you needed to hear. You know, a friend is, you know, maybe you had a huge garlic pasta lunch, and your friend is the guy that hands you some Tic Tacs. "Hey, bro," you know? Or we'll turn to you and you go, "Yeah, spinach, right between your teeth," you know? It's not something necessarily you want to hear, but because they're your friend, they'll say that to you. They care enough to say that. And oftentimes we can think, well, if somebody's always giving us warm and fuzzies, they're our friend. Man, not necessarily. As a matter of fact, that's a good indicator that they're not really your true friend because they're unwilling to say the difficult things. Be careful what and who you listen to. You know, there's some guys on television, I can watch them, and I always feel good about me after I watch them. That's a little weird, isn't it? Because I'm thinking, I don't need to feel good about me. I need to get convicted, you know, about this or that, the other. Verse 3, "Now Samuel had died, and all Israel had lamented for him and buried him in Ramah, in his own city. And Saul had put the mediums and the spiritists out of the land. Then the Philistines gathered together and came and encamped at Shunem. So Saul gathered all Israel together and they encamped at Gilboa. Now when Saul saw the army of the Philistines, he was afraid and his heart trembled greatly." This place of Gilboa, it's near the plain of Jezreel, near Megiddo in the Hebrew tongue, Armageddon. And these armies are gathering together and Saul's afraid. Why? Because Saul's alone. He's not walking with the Lord. That should always be a check. When you feel fear about being alone, you need to stop and ask yourself the hard questions. Am I doing something I shouldn't be doing? Am I doing something that I assumed God was asking me to do? Saul was afraid because he didn't feel the presence of the Lord. Now, how were the Philistines able to amass and prepare this battle? Because Saul was off chasing David. He's fighting the wrong battles. He was fighting the wrong battles. You know what I figured out as a parent? You gotta fight the right battles. Pick your battles with your kids. Because if you don't pick your battles, you're just always going to be fighting with them. And if you're always fighting with them, they're going to turn you off, man. They're not going to listen to you. They're just going to hear you go, Why? Because you always do that. So what you have to do is you have to pick your battles. And some stuff you go, well, I don't really like that, but I'll save it for something important. And when the important thing comes around, because you've chosen your battle, then they're listening. I think Christians need that same concept. Choose your battles well, because the enemy will come and get you involved in so many different battle fronts, you'll be effective on none of them. So choose your battles. Saul has gotten messed up because he wasn't choosing his battles. Now, verse 6, and it says, and when Saul inquired of the Lord did not answer him either by dreams or by Urim or by the prophets. Why was Saul inquiring of the Lord? Because he was afraid. Was there something to be afraid of? You betcha. But not if he was walking with God. You know, I often stop and think and remember what life without God was like and how overwhelming and how lonely and how frightening and how bleak and dismal that was. And when I remember that, a couple of things happen. It makes me grateful for what God's doing in my life now, and it gives me more compassion and more understanding for those people who don't yet know Him. Because that's the life that they're still leading. Waking up and going, man, what is all this about? There's nothing to live for. Nothing to die for. You should stop and remember that. They're scary things, you know? Is there life after death? What is this all there is to life? All these things. Do you understand God provides all the answers you need? Now, I didn't say He provides all the answers you want. He provides all the answers you need. And we have to be good with that. We have to be okay with that. Because if you're not okay with it, it will lead you to an unhealthy place. That's what we're getting ready to see with Saul. It's going to lead him to a bad place. Why? Because he was not okay with God giving him the answers that he needed. Wait on the Lord. Saul's presumption is going to lead to his downfall. And God has been so patient and gracious and merciful and kind and waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting. What we're about to see what Saul does, Saul was dependent upon Samuel in his relationship with the Lord. And when God didn't answer Saul, what should Saul have done? He should have said, God, I can't hear you. Something's wrong. If you feel far from God, you need to ask yourself who moved. Saul was in that place. It would have behooved him. It would have blessed him to say, gee, God feels really distant from me. What should I do? And he had a choice in that moment of going, you know what? I need to repent. I need to go back to God. I need to deal with this, all this stuff in my life. That's not what he did. I got to get Samuel. And this is going to be an unhealthy thing. Verse 7, then Saul said to his servants, find me a woman who is a medium that I may go to her and inquire of her. And his servant said to him, in fact, there is a woman who is a medium at Endor. Now, two thoughts. Number one, this is forbidden in the book of Leviticus. You weren't supposed to talk to any medium who talked to dead people. It's called necromancy. But, what is Saul doing looking for a medium? And number two, why does his servant rapidly know where one is? I'm looking for a medium. Oh, there's this lady I see all the time. She's right down the street. Well, I mean, a friend goes to her, and man, the whole thing from Saul down, this whole thing had gotten weird. It had gotten corrupted. Verse 8, so Saul disguised himself and put on other clothes, and he went and two men with him, and they came to the woman by night, and he said, please conduct a seance for me and bring up for me the one I shall name to you. Yeah, see, the whole thing's getting weird now, isn't it? Let me ask you a question. Did Saul really inquire of the Lord? I don't think he did. Well, Pastor Avery, you just read that he did. Yeah. Maybe Saul said he did. You understand, the Bible, it represents some things that some people said. They weren't necessarily the right thing. See, if you isolate some of the things the Pharisees said, then you could get really warped theologically, and that's one of the safeties of the verse by verse. I don't think he sought the Lord. And somebody comes to me and goes, you know, Pastor David, I've been praying about this. And I need to ask you a question. Should I do this? Have you prayed about it? Well, yeah. Well, how long did you pray about it? Well, I mean, a little while. I mean, how long? Well, you know, on the ride here, I mentioned it. Asked God, but, you know, then my cell phone rang. And I guess I kind of... You know, I didn't actually pray about it, but I meant to pray about it. I was going to pray about it, but, you know, I was on the way here. I was just going to ask you. Time out. Do you understand, even if I knew the answer, if I answered you in that moment, I'm building dependence upon me. I can't do that. At some point, I might have to say, you know what? You have to go pray about it. I don't think Saul prayed about it. It says he inquired of the Lord. I think, God, what do you want me to do? You're not answering. Okay. That's not really prayer. You understand some of those answers, some of these things, some of the issues? You gotta just hang out with God. You gotta hang out with God. And there's some times when God will answer you just like that. I mean, you just ask, bam, you got that answer. Still small voice. But there's sometimes God lingers and he waits to talk to you to see if you're really listening. That doesn't mean you've done something wrong or God is distant. It might mean God wants to hang out with you for a little while. And he knows when you need an answer or you need something, you're more likely to hang out with. Sad, but it's true. I don't think Saul really inquired of the Lord, because he immediately ran off to this medium. Talks to dead people. Maybe you're sitting there and go, well, David, Pastor David, it says that Saul inquired of the Lord. Leave your finger there. Go with me to 1 Chronicles chapter 10. I'm going to show you a contradiction in the Bible. I'm kidding. Got your attention there, didn't it? 1 Chronicles chapter 10, verse 13 tells us, so Saul died for his unfaithfulness which he had committed against the Lord, because he did not keep the word of the Lord, and also because he consulted a medium for guidance, but he did not inquire of the Lord. Therefore he killed him and turned the kingdom over to David the son of Jesse. I don't think Saul really inquired of the Lord. And that verse says it. Now, some people go, well, that's a contradiction. It's not a contradiction. I think somebody told somebody that was writing this book that Saul inquired of the Lord. That's totally possible. But that's like somebody coming up and saying, I prayed about it. When did you pray about it? Well, I was going to pray about it. I meant to pray about it. I intended to pray about it, but then cell phone rang. And after that, my BlackBerry went off. I had to answer the email. You know, and then by that time, I was here. So I figured instead of praying about it, I just asked for somebody. It's not inquiring of the Lord. Back to 1 Samuel. All of a sudden, because Saul's gotten so twisted, he's okay going to a medium, going to a seance. Why? Because he has to know. Be careful when you get to that place where you feel like you got to know.
Thank you for listening to David McGee with Cross the Bridge Ministries. David's heart is to help you beyond our radio program. We will continue teaching the Word of God and bringing hope through the power of the Scriptures. We know that these are unusual times, so we want to share with you many of our online tools. Please check out youareloved.org to take advantage of these free resources. Our daily devotional has a helpful reading plan, thoughts from the Scripture, and practical life lessons to help encourage you. On youareloved.org, you can find full-length teachings from Pastor David and his assisting pastors. Maybe you are not able to attend services at your local church right now. Visit youareloved.org so you can join us live on Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. Eastern and Thursday evenings at 7 p.m. Eastern time. Now, back to David McGee.
Verse 9, then the woman said to him, look, you know what Saul has done, how he's cut off the mediums and the spiritists from the land. Why then do you lay a snare for my life to cause me to die? And Saul swore to her by the Lord, saying, as the Lord lives, no punishment shall come upon you for this thing. Saul is promising a witch that it would be okay. Things have gone downhill. Not only does he promise that, but he says, as the Lord lives. Do you understand that just because somebody invokes the name of the Lord doesn't mean they're telling you the truth or doing the right thing? Hopefully you're old enough to realize that. Just because somebody uses the name of God on radio or television or the internet doesn't mean they're solid. Just because somebody starts a phrase with, thus saith the Lord, doesn't mean that what they're about to say is from God. Remember, there was a lady prophesying, said, thus saith the Lord, in the day of Moses and the flood and the ark, yea, the Lord hath made a mistake. It was Noah. No, I'm thinking God didn't make a mistake here, honey. Just because somebody uses the name of God doesn't mean that what they're doing or how they're doing it is the right thing. Saul As the Lord lives, no punishment shall come upon you. Verse 11, then the woman said, whom shall I bring up for you? And he said, bring up Samuel for me. And when the woman saw Samuel, she cried out with a loud voice. And the woman spoke to Saul, saying, why have you deceived me? For you are Saul. Man, interesting passage. Let's deal with a couple of issues. Saul asked to bring up Samuel. We've already been pointed out twice that Samuel's dead. Now, there's some people that say this whole thing was a farce. I don't think it was. I think this woman was shocked when she saw Samuel. I don't know. It could be that there was some type of... Don't talk to dead people. I mean, let's just go ahead and throw that out. Don't talk to dead people. Don't watch television shows where the people talk to dead people. That's bad. There's good, there's bad. That's bad. Because here's the thing. When you start that, and you know what? And a lot of these guys are con artists. Well, there's somebody named, you know, John. Oh, my husband's name was Joe. His name is Joe. He was a tall man. No, he was short. He was tall in a short sort of way. He had a mustache. No, he had no mustache. But I think sometimes, I think there's something to it. So how does that work if somebody's dead? Here's the problem. Somebody is saying, okay, I want some information. Is there anything out there that can give me information? Who do you think is going to answer that? It's like reading this thing about people who strongly believe in aliens. They gather around in a circle, they join hands, and they say, if there's anything out there that wants to speak through us or channel through us, then you can use our bodies to speak through us. Who do you think is going to answer a prayer like that? I think there's something to it. There's a supernatural world. And I think, sadly, the Bible talks about people who deny the power thereof. And I think when the church says there's nothing supernatural to our faith, I think that forces some people into looking into the supernatural in bad places and evil places. To say, well, I want power. I've been built to receive supernatural power. If you're telling me as a church, I can't get power, I can't receive supernatural power, I'm going to go look for it in the dark corners. There is a supernatural power on both sides. God wants to give us supernatural power. And I think the moment people begin to deny the power, it's a bad thing. It's a bad thing. Now, apparently, she didn't really expect Samuel to appear because she gets freaked out. She gets scared. And you know, when you don't have God in your life, it's amazing the stuff that you'll try to put in there. You'll try to put stuff in there. You'll try to put seances. You'll try to put drugs. You'll try to, you know, put whatever. Medications. All these things. When you need to really look at your relationship with the Lord. Because there is a hunger in each one of us to reach out to something that's beyond us. And we're built that way so that we'll desire a relationship with God. But when people don't have that relationship with God, they begin to desire these things that are unhealthy. And it'll mess you up. And this woman was frightened. Verse 13, and now watch verse 13. And the king said to her, do not be afraid. What did you see? And the woman said to Saul, I saw a spirit ascending out of the earth. Apparently Saul didn't see Samuel. The woman saw Samuel. And the woman is probably demon-possessed. If you got a problem with demon possession, you got a problem with the New Testament. So your problem's not with me, it's with the Bible. Verse 14, so he said to her, what is his form? And she said, an old man is coming up and he's covered with a mantle. And Saul perceived that it was Samuel and he stooped down with his face to the ground and bowed down. Now Samuel said to Saul, why have you disturbed me by bringing me up? And the concept there is everybody was in, before Jesus, before the Messiah. Man, it could take a half hour, but I'm just going to leave this real quick. There was a place where the people who believed in God went, and when Jesus died for our sins, he was able to go to that place and release them so that they're in heaven. You no longer go to a holding place. The whole concept of purgatory is not a biblical concept, and the Bible in the New Testament tells us to be absent with the body is to be present with the Lord. But this is the Hebrew Scriptures. There had not been a perfect atonement through Jesus Christ for our sins. Verse 15, now Samuel said to Saul, why have you disturbed me by bringing me up? And Saul answered, I am deeply distressed, for the Philistines make war against me, and God has departed from me and does not answer me anymore, neither by prophets nor by dreams. Therefore I have called you, that you may reveal to me what I should do. This whole thing that's going on, do you think this is from God? You think Saul brought, think God brought Samuel out? No. How do we know that? Look what Saul just said. God has departed from me and does not answer me anymore. This is not God. There's a very real demonic power out there that you need to be aware of. You don't need to focus on it. You don't need to read all sorts of dark books about what all people have done. Just need to be aware of it. And you also need to understand. No, let's read verse 16. Then Samuel said, "So why do you ask me, seeing the Lord has departed from you and has become your enemy? Why don't you ask God?" It's really what he's saying. And Saul is unwilling to ask God. Don't go to mediums. Don't go to fortune tellers. Don't call up psychic hotlines. Don't look at astrology charts to see what's about to happen in your life. There is something about us that wants to know what's going to happen around the corner. Part of that can be good. Part of that can be bad. It depends on how it's expressed. God has faithfully told us some of the stuff that's around the corner in this book. It's fascinating. I love the stuff, the study of prophecy. But not all the blanks are really filled in. And I'm okay with that. See, because if you begin to feel like you got to have the answers, you're going to go to other people that will provide those answers, sometimes right, sometimes wrong. But here's the thing. Why aren't you trusting God? Why do you need those answers? If you have to have those answers, you aren't really trusting God. Trust the Lord. Trust God. Verse 17, "And the Lord has done for himself as he spoke by me. For the Lord has torn the kingdom out of your hand and given it to your neighbor David. Because you did not obey the voice of the Lord nor execute his fierce wrath upon Amalek. Therefore the Lord has done this thing to you this day. Moreover, the Lord will also deliver Israel with you into the hand of the Philistines. And tomorrow you and your sons will be with me. The Lord will also deliver the army of Israel into the hand of the Philistines." The prophecy is dead on. That doesn't mean it's from God. Again, I think it's demonic, but it's accurate. Again, these things are very real. Saul was trying to approach God for what he needed without really having a relationship with the Lord. He wanted the blessings of God, but he didn't want the relationship. You realize we do that. God has promised us in this book all kinds of blessings as we ask him to forgive us. All kinds of blessings as we give financially to work of the ministry. All kinds of blessings for serving his people. All kinds of blessings for all kinds of things. But oftentimes we go, "Okay, God bless me." Do you understand? And maybe you're sitting there and go, "Well, I don't do that." Well, wait a minute. Have you ever asked God to bless you financially when you weren't given financially? Then you've done this. In essence, what you're doing at that point, you're asking God to bless your disobedience. That's what you're doing. Statistics say 54% of most people in the church haven't given anything in the last 30 days. That's an amazing statistic. And yet, those folks get in a financial crunch. "God bless me." God's no, I'm trying to teach you something. I'm trying to teach you something. And Saul, in this place, is trying to receive the blessings of God without following the Lord. And Lord's going, "No, I got blessings. I want to bless you. God is a blessing God." That's not the question. Will God bless you? God will bless you beyond what you're able to imagine. Question is, are you going to follow him? See, because his blessings are through grace. But as you follow him, the blessings abound. If you don't follow him, you're hurting yourself. It's your choice. Part of my job, pastor, teacher, is to present that to you. Blessings, cursings, what do you want? Your decision. You can't go to God and say, "Well, God, I chose cursings and I chose death, but I want blessings." God's going to say, "You know what? It's your free will. That's what you chose. Why are you surprised? Why are you shocked?"
Friend, do you know for sure that your sins have been forgiven? You can know right now. I want to lead you in a short, simple prayer, simply telling God you're sorry and asking him to help you to live for him. Please pray this prayer with me out loud right now. "Dear Jesus, I believe you died for me that I could be forgiven. And I believe you were raised from the dead that I could have a new life. And I've done wrong things. I have sinned. And I'm sorry. Please forgive me of all those things. Please give me the power to live for you all of my days. In Jesus' name, amen. Friend, if you prayed that prayer, according to the Bible, you've been forgiven, you've been born again. So congratulations, friend, you just made the greatest decision that you will ever make. God bless you.
If you prayed that prayer with David for the first time, we'd love to hear from you. You can visit crossthebridge.com to receive our First Steps package with helpful resources to help you begin your walk with Christ. You can also write to Cross the Bridge at P.O. Box 12515, Winston-Salem, North Carolina 27117, and share how God is working in your life. Before we go, have you been listening to the teachings through the book of 1 Samuel? We've handpicked some of these teachings that will encourage your prayer life. Pastor Neil, can you tell us more?
Yeah, Bob, we all hunger for a deeper connection with the Lord. And Pastor David shares through past living examples how to have that deeper connection. So when you give a gift today, we're going to send you, for your generosity, praying through 1 Samuel. It's a 4-CD series that will encourage you in a deeper relationship with the Lord.
And as you step out on faith and give a gift to Cross the Bridge today, we will send this in appreciation for your generosity. Again, please visit crossthebridge.com to give today and get your copy of Praying Through 1 Samuel.
We would also like to encourage you to grab Pastor David's daily devotional. Each day you can wake up with encouragement from Pastor David through the Word of God with this email devotional. Life lessons to consider, a daily reading plan, and a thought to meditate on throughout your day from the heart of David McGee.
Hey, and it's easy and it's free. You can just sign up today on crossthebridge.com. Well, folks, thanks for listening and tune in next time as David McGee continues teaching verse by verse through 1 Samuel.